God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, discussing with my daughter Valerie Shepherd the temperaments in children, the dangers of labeling children, and the amazingly different qualities of children who have the same set of parents.
Mm-hmm. I think of how my husband and I labeled ourselves when we first got married, and have over the years used these labels, and yet I see how the Lord is growing us and changing us still. And there's hope. There's always hope when you have the Lord. You can't stick with a label and categorize that person for the rest of his life. I have thought of myself when I first got married, especially because I came from a family that was very outspoken and argumentative, opinionated. And Walt came from a family who was not outspoken and quite afraid of stepping on people's toes. And the Lord has made me a little more gentle, and the Lord has made him a little more direct over the years. So we haven't stuck with being exactly the same as when we were first married. I think parents need to really be careful to watch that admonition in the Bible that says, fathers, and I think definitely it can be said the same to mothers, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I think when we label them, we put them down and set them up to follow only a certain track. And God wants to be molding us and changing us. Our attitudes towards our children can be very damaging, and they can be murmuring, discontented attitudes. I used to complain that I had a girl right after a boy, thinking that this didn't work right because they weren't going to get along with each other because they were so different from each other. And yet, over the years, I've seen how God put them exactly in the right position in our family, for their good, for the good of others, and for the glory of God. So I'm thankful for each one in each position that God put them in, and in their very different personalities. When we're exasperated with our children, we frustrate them and give them no hope. But when we are gentle and loving, and I think of the fruits of the Spirit there, we are to be filled with the Spirit, and we are to be filled with that gentleness, kindness, self-control, and goodness as we talk to our children.
Would you think that it's more difficult for one child to exhibit love than for another? And another child perhaps might find self-control more difficult. We've got the fruits of the Spirit, which are listed in Galatians, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Yes. I also used to think that I could maybe work on two of them, but I couldn't work on all of them. And yet, in every situation, God gives the grace to give a particular fruit if we're open and yielding to His Spirit.
So you mean work on two of the fruits? You weren't talking about working on two of the children.
Yes, I meant two of the fruits. And I definitely see in my children, some are more tender-hearted, more forgiving, more repentant than others. Some are more stubborn, more proud, more defensive than others. And so each one of them, they need to ask themselves and ask the Lord to help them to put on those fruits of the Spirit. And I need to pray for them. I think we parents need to be faithful to pray that the whole fullness of the Spirit would come into our children's lives in whatever way they need most, whether it's self-control. I have one daughter that has had a terrible time controlling her emotions. But I've seen growth, and I've seen change, and I've seen a quiet spirit that has developed.
One thing that happens quite often when Lars and I travel around and we visit in many people's homes, and people bring their children to the book table to meet us, so often a mother or a father, when he brings a child, will say, well, he's very shy, you know, say hello to Mrs. Gren. Mm-hmm. Can you say good morning, Elizabeth, or good morning, Mrs. Gren? And of course, 9 times out of 10, the child tries to hide around behind his father or his mother, at which point the parent says very audibly, well, he's very shy.
And it gives that child the excuse. It gives the child the excuse to continue to disobey and be shy, which he probably really isn't. He's probably just being disobedient.
Well, when I went away to boarding school, I hadn't been there more than about 2 weeks, I don't think, when the headmistress, who was a very keen reader of character, called me into the office. And I had no idea what I was in for, but she and her husband, he was the president of the school, she was the headmistress, proceeded to tear strips off me, figuratively, because I was shy. Hmm. And I suppose that that label had been put on me long before then, but I was 14 years old when I went to this school. And my name was Betty Howard in those days, and I can still hear her saying, Betty Howard, you are shy, and you are self-centered, and shyness is nothing but selfishness. Hmm. And you have got to start giving yourself to other people and being outgoing and being kind. Mm-hmm. And if you cannot do that, we do not need you in this school. Mm-hmm. And this went on for almost 2 hours. Well, I was shattered.
Demolished.
But those words have rung in my ears ever since. I think it's my temperament. It is my nature, my natural nature, to be very retiring and very shy. But I think she's right. It is a self-centered act to refuse to be outgoing because you don't happen to feel comfortable that way. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and love reaches out for the good of the other, not considering whether or not I'm comfortable.
Mm-hmm. And we could apply the same kinds of principles to our marriages or to our adult relationships with other people. I've heard wives say, my husband is passive. Well, we've heard from some letters that you have received that when the wife changes her attitude towards how she treats, changes her attitude towards her husband and decides that she will treat her husband as if he were Christ, her whole spirit of irritation goes, is put on the cross.
The Bible tells husbands that they are to love their wives, and the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. Now, that is a divine office and not one that very many men would feel comfortable with. That is not an option. This is one thing that I think is very hard to get across, as you were just saying, that women will often say that their husbands are passive, usually meaning that they don't want to take spiritual responsibility for the family because it's their nature to be passive. But I don't think God accepts that as a good reason, let alone as an excuse, because the command is the command to all, regardless of temperament. Mm-hmm. The danger in all of us is that we settle down in our own little niche and try to tell ourselves that this doesn't apply to me. I don't have to do this because it's not my nature to do this. Not
like
my nature
me.
To be kind and gentle and good and self-controlled.
But we are to put on the new self and put off the old self.
That's a command, isn't it?
I mean,
that's
command.
Pretty blunt. Put it on, put it off, just
and
as deliberately as you put your clothes on in the morning.
Get rid of that old nature. And I think we do have to come to terms with accepting the fact that we will have this mortal flesh that we must fight against until we die. We will have these tendencies in our personality to be selfish, to be the way we naturally want to be, and we have to fight against it because Christ calls us to be servants of others. He calls us to be denying ourselves for His glory.
It takes meekness. May I read something here from one of the old spiritual classics? You should make a special point of asking God every morning to give you, before all else, that true spirit of meekness which He would have His children possess. You must also make a firm resolution to practice yourself in this virtue, especially in your intercourse with those persons to whom you chiefly owe it. You must make it your main object to conquer yourself in this matter. Call it to mind 100 times during the day. And this is important, he says, commending your efforts to God. Mm-hmm. All through the day, we should be commending our efforts to God. Lord, mm-hmm. help me to clean this toilet right. Lord, help me to make this bed. Lord, help me to meet this person peacefully and joyfully. But it takes the true spirit of meekness. I'll read the rest of this. It seems to me that no more than this is needed in order to subject your soul entirely to God's will. And then you will become more gentle day by day, trusting wholly in His goodness. You will be very happy, my dearest child, if you can do this, for God will dwell in your heart, and where He reigns, all is peace. And here's the encouraging word with which he closes. But if you should fail and commit some of your old faults, do not be disheartened, but rise up and go on again as though you had not fallen.
Mm-hmm. I think of the verse in Psalm 90 that says, establish thou the work of our hands.
It begins with, let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, and establish mm-hmm. thou the work of mm-hmm. our hands.
And as we ask him to help us to do a good job at cleaning the bathroom, or a good job at folding laundry, or a good job at training our children, he promises to help us and establish that work. And I think of the verse too, he that honors me, I will honor. He promises to honor and establish and confirm the work that we do for him.
You have two girls that seem very, very different to me. One of them seems to be very relaxed and outgoing and easily makes friends and sort of a take charge girl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And another one who's so meditative and quiet, and she writes letters to me and signs them Handmaiden of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that warms my heart to see that. I feel as though I don't know Christiana quite as well as I know Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth is much more of my temperament. Mm-hmm. But I trust that I will learn to treasure the differences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In
to
each
enjoy
of those
the differences.
Children.
Yeah. And I'm definitely learning to enjoy the differences. The first 3 to 4 children I had, I couldn't. I thought, surely they have to all turn out like Walter or learn in the same way that Walter learned. And the more I had, the more the Lord has shown me how He wants each one unique, and yet He is working His purpose out in each of their personalities. I'm so thankful that every one of us in the body of Christ is gifted in order to build up and support the body in some way.
Let me close with one more scripture and then 4 lines. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Help us, O Lord, with patient love to bear each other's faults, to suffer with true meekness. Help us each other's joys and griefs to share, but let us turn to Thee alone in weakness.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network. Mm-hmm.